Good afternoon and welcome to the Wednesday, March 26th, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. You're listening to, of course, LibertyRadioLive.com. That's LibertyRadioLive.com. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. I will be here for the next 2 hours. My guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo. And let me know when Tony's on the line. I'm getting an echo. Tony, are you there?
I'm on the line right now.
Okay, great. Let me give you a slight introduction, and then we'll get moving in this hour because there's a lot to talk about. But anyway, Pastor Alamo's been with me many times, and he was a very successful record and radio producer, record and music producer in Hollywood back in the 60s before he found the Lord. When he did, he left his very lucrative job and went to the pulpit to preach, and he's been doing that for the last 40 years. And he's one of the first people I ever heard about that was really coming strong against the Vatican and trying to connect the dots, and he's never strayed from that message, and I respect him immensely for that. Let me mention this, that the first time, and let me just give you an idea how the Vatican operates. The first time I ever heard of Tony Alamo's name was back, I think, in the late 80s or early 90s, when I was listening to mainstream TV, and they made him out to be some type of cult member, some type of a leader of a cult, and all I could remember was, when I left that, I just said, boy, who is this guy? And so as I tried to figure that out, and I didn't do it immediately because at that time I was doing something else, when I was doing some interviews, I interviewed an ex-FBI agent who told me the truth about Pastor Alamo and how he'd been persecuted by the mainstream media, by the Clinton, by former President Clinton when he was a governor in Arkansas, and how there was an attack upon his reputation and his ministry. And so I just remember that, Pastor Alamo, and it just shows you how they work. You know what I'm getting at?
Oh, yes. You know, like when I knew Governor Clinton, we were the, he just thought I was the greatest thing since Kleenex. And he gave me all kinds of different things because we have a large following, and I reckon he wanted me to vote for him and to tell all of our followers, and I did, because he was good to the church. Then when he was lying about being a Baptist, because he's absolutely 100% Catholic, as soon as he made president, he started telling people that, why aren't you Catholic? I mean, the best thing about Perot, who was running for president, is that he's Catholic, and all of these different things. And then he turned on me when he made president. I guess he figures he reached Mecca and that he didn't need anybody. And my attorney, Sam Sexton, who's now the late Sam Sexton, who was one of his advisors, told me, watch out for Clinton, because what he does is after he uses you, he turns on you like a shark, like a tiger shark, and will tear you to ribbons. So far, he put a little over two pages in his book on me, not very nice. He says that I was a great promoter and everything, and Susie was a pretty good preacher, and since she died, I don't have anything to promote. I never promoted Susie. We were just preaching the gospel, and it's amazing how these carnal people, these antichrist people, imagine all sorts of different imaginations, and destroying reasonings and plots and arguments about those that preach the gospel. And he actually hired, according to John Peeler, to assassinate.
Yeah, he's the ex-FBI agent.
He's an ex-FBI agent, John Peeler, stated over and over again that he wanted him to assassinate me. Then he got around the church, and as he said on your program several times, that he went over to the church and looked around, talked to the people. I sat down with them. We had a restaurant back then, and he says, those people, Tony Alamu is squeaky clean. He says, I'm not going to do it, and therefore because he didn't do it, Clinton had his son put in prison. He's been there for how many years, do you remember?
His son has been there now. It must be going on at least 5 years.
Yeah, I thought it was more like 5 or 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly, but I know it's more than 5 years.
Yeah.
But what happened when John left the FBI and told me the story about you, the first time I interviewed him, I had never interviewed you, and so I immediately then got in contact with you because he told me the real truth behind the scenes. We were talking about many other things. He was a very well-known FBI agent who first infiltrated the militia movements and then the Ku Klux Klan, and was involved in many of their PSYOPs operations, and was a hitman, basically, he said. And when he was assigned you, he told me the first thing they wanted to do was to try to plant some weapons in your ministry to bring you down. And this was at the same time as I'm putting two and two together, when the media, and this was the mainstream media, when your face was plastered all over the news, and they made you out to be like this cult member. Now, any American that would look at that would have gotten a bad impression of you by those news articles. And this is how the Vatican operates. They hide their bad reputation with a good one, and then they try to destroy people like you who are spreading the word of the Bible in the eyes of people to ruin your reputation. And I'm sure they were quite successful because many people probably don't look past the news. Well, John told me then that he was told to do anything possible to bring your ministry down, guns, find some sex crimes that you were involved in, anything. And he said he couldn't, and it was the last, you were the last straw in his FBI career, and he left the FBI and then began to talk, and that's when they first tried to pin him on a murder charge. It didn't work, so they got his son, who was an easy target in the military, who's now sitting in a jail, charged with a first-degree murder charge without any physical evidence. It's just a travesty, and at least, though, he's telling the truth. And in fact, what was interesting, Tony, is he even said that they came to him after he appeared on my show, and they said, if you stop talking, we'll let your son out. Well, he stopped talking for 6 months, and they didn't, so he said, screw you guys, I'm going back and talking again.
Yeah.
Well, what I found out was this. It was a perfect learning lesson for me, because I remember listening to those news reports in the 90s about you, and 99 out of 100 people aren't going to go a step farther. But if you do, you see exactly what the Vatican did to you and how they're still trying to do it. So in the long run, they end up getting you on a IRS charge where you spend 4 years in federal prison, and you've explained on your website at alamoministries.com how they even railroaded you on those and provided false documents to the court to basically imprison you, correct?
It wasn't even documents. What they did is they told people that were in prison, if you'll say this about Tony, we'll let you out of prison. That's how, and drug dealers that they were going to bust, they said, if you we'll leave you alone if you'll testify falsely against Tony in court. They went to my ex-wife and told her, this has been going on since the 60s. I've been in the ministry almost 44 years. In September, it'll be 44 years. And he said, they told her, if you don't, she's from Sweden. She's actually the princess of Sweden. Her name is Birgitta Gyllenhammar. Gyllenhammar in Sweden is like the name Rockefeller here in the United States. And they own Volvo Automobile Company in Sweden. It's the fourth largest industry in Europe. And I'm married to her, and she bought Les Brown, the Band of Renown's house, a mansion up in Pacific Palisades up on a mountain. You can overlook the ocean there. And I was staying there, and they called her up, and she had two dress shops. She's a very good seamstress. She made clothes for Shah Kapoor and going to deport her back to Sweden, and they're going to take her house and sell it for pennies on the dollar, because they're going to make up a charge on her that she is a that she's owes the IRS money, and they were just going to sell everything that she had. And so she called up, and I didn't want to talk to her anymore because she was committed fornication, adultery. And so I she says, "Is Tony there?" And I said, so one of the girls answered and says, "Well, what do you want to?" One of the office workers says, "What is it? Can he meet with me?" And I told him, "No, but Lydia can meet with her and another one of the girls at the church." And so they went down. She says, "They're going to take all the things away from me. Ask Tony what I should do, and they're going to deport me back to Sweden, to Stockholm, Sweden." And I says, "I know what she is. She's." I said, "Just tell her to do whatever she's going to do. Do it quickly, because I know what you're up to." And she said, "The rest of all, how much did Tony Alamo give you? We weren't even taking in $30,000-$40,000 a month, because we weren't that big yet." And she said, "He gives me $40,000 a month." And so I told my attorney, "Ask her if she paid taxes on it in the IRS case." She was just lying through her teeth. And she's still in the United States. She lost her dress shops, and she still has the house. She's trying to sell for $3 million right now. And so, I mean, they just, everyone that they got lied. People that never worked in the office swore to God that they worked in the office and that I kept the separate books and all this kind of stuff. They said I had people in a one-mile tunnel up on the ridge where people were in chains there, and I was keeping them captive. What for, I have no idea. But I said, okay, I put an ad in the paper saying, or I advertised it, anyone that can, that would like to buy tickets to come up here and dig, if you find any tunnel up here at all, not let alone, and people in it, I'll give you whatever the property's worth, and it was worth at that time over $1 million. It's worth far more than that now. The government took that away, and they sold it for pennies on the dollar, and all of our properties, and now we have at least 4, 5 to 10 times more property and better property than we ever had. This is the same case as with Job in the Bible, where God took God let Satan take everything away from him, and still he never cursed God. He said, "God gave, the Lord takes it away." He took it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. That's just the stance I took. I went through a very big Job experience. They marched up on our ridge and they got everybody out of there. It made them leave their houses that I had built for them. There were over 100 and some odd houses that they were living in up there, and so they were all put out on the street in the mid of winter, and with their children and everything. And what they do is they build up all these lies about you so that the people applaud, you know, that this is happening to you. And also that whenever you're in court, there's a jury there, and they've already heard all the smut, and so they just figured, let's get this guy, you know, let's really get him. And there wasn't one shred of truth in anything that they said any more than what they said about Jesus. They nailed him to a cross on a pack of lies.
Right, and your ministry has never pulled any punches or minced words about the real beast called the Vatican, and they basically don't like it. And if you remember the old proverb, and the Vatican hides behind this, and they understand one thing, a good reputation is better than a golden belt. And the point is, if they can destroy their enemies' reputations, especially Bible believers who are criticizing them, who are, like you, bringing up verses in the Bible that will show that they are the Antichrist, things that they don't want, and as well as not forgetting about what they do in the secular world, which is a part of your ministry that goes over and above what many do in this country, and that is they will read from the Bible but yet support the illegal war in Iraq. So the Vatican does not like you, and they realize if, one, they can destroy your reputation, perhaps then they can destroy your ability to have a ministry that is functional in the world where people come and you have enough money to operate. And so they basically look at you as an enemy for basically trying to tell the truth about them for over 40 years.
Right.
And,
well,
go ahead.
I beg your pardon?
Go ahead, I said.
Yeah, I'm telling the truth about them, and so they can't think of anything to say that's true about me. Even when I went to court, they said, you cannot bring in any witnesses, because if you bring in witnesses, then you're going to open the door for us to bring all these people in, and they were all liars. And so my attorney just told me, don't pay any attention. You know, you have to pay attention. Don't say anything about that. And he said that the reason for that is because he had 17 counts of failure to file, and he wrote an anti-IRS book. And so just at the time of the trial, they threatened him. They said, if you win this case, we're going to get you for 17 counts of failure to file. His name is Jeff Dickstein. And he laid down. I mean, because he was an excellent attorney. He won one case for me where they said I wanted to hire a, I wanted to kidnap a federal judge, Judge Morris Arnold. I won that case. I won every case. They had me in about 100 different times. And I won every case, but the IRS case, my attorney laid down on me. He says, there wasn't anything I could do. He says, there's just nothing I could do. And I said, well, you could have fought the case. Then he said, if you don't plead a certain way, he says, like the Fifth Amendment, seven times in a row, he says, I'm going to leave you right here in the courtroom. So I pled the Fifth. I was very naive back then, and this is going back around 14, 15 years ago. But they played every trick on the face of this earth with me. But I don't walk. I mean, I'm walking in the flesh, but I don't war like fleshy people do at all. I don't have guns, bullets, bombs. We don't have anything like they tried to say that we had, because ours is a spiritual war against these spiritual beings. They're like actually militias. Our militias are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the destruction, the spiritual destruction of pulling down these different fortresses that are coming against us. And so they don't realize that the spiritual realm is far more powerful than the carnal realm. Now, the Bible tells us that we have to become mortified, like we have to become like a corpse, a cuerpo, like in Spanish, cuerpo. We have to become like corpses to just let Christ dwell in us, and he does the work. Otherwise, if it wasn't for the Christ with his Father by the Spirit being in me, I would have snapped a long time ago. As a matter of fact, they ask our witnesses on the street, if that has Tony Alamo snapped yet? They say, no way. Keep going. Keep hitting him. But no matter what you do, he has become a walking, like the Apostle Paul said, that he says, I did more preaching of the gospel and more work for God than all the other apostles put together. He wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. And he said, yet not I, that what you see is a cuerpo, a corpse, but it's Christ in me that did the work. And so we have to die out to this fleshy way that these people are dead in their spirit. whole world government and all of the atrocities of the Vatican, and all, they're like a peanut or less than a peanut to God. The power of God is so powerful in me that there's no way they can shake me. They've hit me with they've hit me with so many false accusations that even I would make Hitler look clean. You know, it's all false because they know that I'm really uncovering them a lot. Yeah, the only thing that they can throw back at me is a bunch of lies. And so I don't need to defend myself. I just let the Lord do it. And I, when I pray, Lord, these people that are doing these things to them, you stated that in the last days you were going to pour out your wrath on this earth. And I'm just sitting here patiently waiting for you to do it. You said, if I do your work, you'll do mine. And so therefore I'm just saying, come on, Lord. And so right in this little town we're at, there's several people, a whole band of them that wanted to burn us out and everything because of the false accusations they've heard. And what happened is they started dropping dead and having strokes, and some of them are paralyzed. Everything evil started happening to them. And we're in a town that used to be the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. And they
said, where's that now, Tony? I know you have a number of ministries. What town are you speaking of?
We're talking about Fouke, Arkansas, F-O-U-K-E. It's about 30 minutes from Texarkana, pretty large town. And we have property there, too. And it's like, but when I say we have property, it's like when I buy a property, or all of us buy it together, it's designated to different people in the church. So because if they saw that my name was on it, they would immediately steal it. If they saw that there was a church name attached to the property, they'd steal that, because these people are the Antichrist. They hate the Bible. They hate the people that preach the Bible. They hate God. They want to extinguish the name of God if they could. But we're the ones that have the power. Our warfare is not with guns, bullets, bombs, because that's carnal. But our warfare is mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds or the different fortresses of the devil. And so I understand that, according to their own newspapers, they say that I have caused this is going back years, 500 million Catholics to leave that cult. And they got so uptight that these different radio people would call into radio stations, top 40 stations that I was on, and they say I was some kind of a weasel saying that the Pope was a homosexual. Man, the switchboards would light up like crazy, and that he was a child molester. And I told him that years ago, this is going back around 30 years ago, and all of a sudden now they had to confess that they're paying out $500 million because they had sex with some little boys. I mean, they're the most rotten, filthy bunch of pigs that ever lived. And they would think that they had a right to bring false accusations against somebody or anybody that's serving the Lord. It's like, it's so disgusting to me. Every time I see them, they have a Catholic channel now. I turn on there, and you can see that at least 90 to 100% of them are homosexuals on there. And they twist the scriptures so bad that it's just amazing to me that people would want to go to hell so bad just to belong to that cult. And it is really the most diabolical. The Bible says that the power that it has is from that great red dragon, the devil, and that his seat, the Satan's seat, is in Rome, in the city of the seven hills or mountains. They use it in the Bible, mountains or hills, either one. And that's where the Vatican is. And so, you know, what kind of a picture? And it says that they're the richest. They have gold and all kinds of, their colors are purple and scarlet. And you can see these people dressed up that no apostle, Christ or no apostle or no prophet ever dressed up like. Christ never preached in some monasteries like that, where the walls are lined with gold, and it's so carnal into, like, property ivory and also gold and jewels. And what are they going to do with it when they go out to meet God? We came into the world with nothing, and they certainly are going out like a bunch of flies with nothing. They can't take those jewels or that gold with them. And in heaven, gold is the put-down. The streets are made of gold there. So I don't sweat it, you know, because I don't eat that much anyway, and I've been raised not really rich or anything. I just eat beans and spuds and little tuna fish, stuff like that. I don't eat a lot of it. But, you know, it's we're not out for money. I have a Beatles album that I own that could be worth over, I've been told, $50 million to $100 million. And I won't sell it just to prove to people that I'm not out for money. I'm not in the ministry for money at all, not even one penny. I wouldn't sell any of my literature at all. I don't sell Bibles. I give them away. And, of course, we're too good of a testimony for the Lord. That's why they have to do everything they can to try to drag us down to their own guttural level.
Yeah, good point. And I was just looking at your website. And if people want to go there, right before, we're going to take a break in about a minute or two and come back for our final half hour with Tony. But you can go to LamoMinistries.com, read a lot about it. And one of the things you put on there, Tony, we could talk a little bit about this. And I always wanted to ask you about this character that you put on, because the first thing on your website is false accusers of Tony Alamo, and you're not afraid to talk about any of the, I mean, over a hundred, you know, hundreds of lawsuits filed against you. They've tried to take you down ever since they realized your charismatic method of preaching the Bible, as well as your success rate at getting people to helping people, as well as spreading the word of God. And they didn't like that.
I guess
if you weren't as charismatic and as successful as you are, they probably left you alone. But you're the type of people they go after.
They have to do something. They just can't there and take it and say, "Oh, all right, Tony, the devil says, you know, you win." No, they don't do that. They conjure up every filthy lie that they can think of, stuff that wouldn't even enter my mind, you know. And so
I know you list all these things on your website, and I've always wanted to ask you, there's a character that looks like the devil, Bill Levy.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, well, let's talk about him. I always wanted to ask you what, I'd never got a chance to read about what he tried to do to you, but he looks like a diabolical character, and you have that on your website at AlamoMinistries.com. Go there, you can find a lot, too. There's a couple things there. I also wanted to ask you, today you have an audio message, and you put these on, and you're on many different radio stations. We'll get back to a whole bunch of things with Pastor Alamo back in 3 minutes. Okay, we are back for the second half hour of the Investigative Journal. You can listen to this show at LibertyRadioLive.com every day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. My guest today is Pastor Tony Alamo, and for 40 years, like we said earlier in the show, he's been trying to spread the word of Christ and also talking about the Antichrist, and you need to understand both. And he pinpoints the Vatican in many of his programs. He's on many radio stations. For example, if you go to his website today, you'll see today's audio message from Pastor Alamo, program number 591. So go there, and if you want to look at listen to some of those messages. Also, he provides an audio Bible, and I want to thank him for that because I listen to it a lot. And that's a good way to also learn about what the Bible has to say. Now, as far as these accusations, Pastor, I asked you about this character because you put them right on your website, and I always wanted to ask you this, because right on the top of your website, you're not afraid to talk about this, you list the false accusers, probably not all of them, as many as you could think of, and you talk about it. And so you're open about it, and who's this guy Bill Levy, by the way?
Well, he is a homosexual, and of course the Lord hates that sin. He'd love to see the homosexuals abandon that sin and then serve him. Because anyone that disobeys the Lord is good and he's love, but he's also severe. That's what I've been doing, is a series of how severe God is. When this guy Achan in the nation of Israel stole a gold wedge and some silver and a garment, that they started losing their battles, and God was letting them get killed. So they had to find out who this guy was. And when there's sin, you have to kill it. You have to, like these people state, these people, God sent the Jews into the Holy Land, which was not the Holy Land, then it was Africa, and to kill them because they were murdering their children, just like the people in the world today are doing that. But this Bill Levy, he was really saved. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He actually murdered somebody before he was saved. He hung a woman upside down and slit her throat. And I guess, and he was a homosexual before. I didn't really find that out, but he also threatened to murder his dad. He said, if you don't put me in the nut house, he says, I'm going to creep up on you with a hammer in my hands and I'm going to bash your brains out. This is the kind of ministry that we've had, is with these different characters like that. And Satan really hates the idea of these people like that are such sinners that they're getting saved. And he starts throwing all kinds of mud at us just to perhaps somebody would shoot, kill us, or get behind us and burn our places down or destroy children, or they try to frighten everybody out of the ministry. And they were successful when they went with gunpoint and put him up there. Now, this guy got back into homosexuality. He owns a tattoo shop and is back. He used to work for a tie shop, and anybody that he would catch stealing a $2 tie, he'd bash their brains in for him. And he got saved, and his mother and father were on our TV program. We were on TV for 10 years back in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, and for 10 years. And they got on, they said it was such a relief. They couldn't believe that he was holding a Bible and reading it and going on the streets and witnessing and testifying and praising the Lord. And he never called his parents. And his mother almost broke down when he called her and said, Mom, I love you. And she couldn't believe it was him. And so they had to come to the church and we have it on television.
So he basically, infiltrates your ministry, then tries to spread bad lies about you, right?
Well, he just got tired of serving the Lord. He decided, like Alexander the coppersmith in the that Paul was talking about, who deserted him because he loved the present world that we're living in now more than the world to come. And he figured, well, I'm a homosexual, I'm drinking booze, I'm going to go into drugs now. He's selling drugs. He's running some kind of a head shop out there with his homosexual buddy. And he's nothing. I mean, he's nothing to be concerned about because God gave him a stroke, and he's paralyzed, and for the longest time he couldn't even talk. And because, you know, you cannot attack the body of Christ. Like, you know, the Lord said that we're the body of Christ. When he was breaking bread, he said, this is my body, a bunch of broken people, broken spirits and contrite hearts. And he said, do this in remembrance. We have to be broken, or we have to go to the cross with Christ and die, become a corpse, in order for him to take over in us. And he cannot get into us unless we become broken. We go through fire. We have to go to prison. We have to be maligned and slandered and all these different things. Because we trust the Lord, the reward is so great, going to the kingdom of heaven and spending eternity there rather than going to hell. And so this Levy, you know, he just thought, well, he started losing faith in the Lord for some reason. He wants to go out and be a homosexual again. And a lot of people do that. The Bible says that many people have fallen away. In the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, it tells how that there'll be a great falling away from Christ in the last days, just before he comes. And that's a sign. Most of these people that call themselves Christians today that are sitting in these major congregations, they're not even saved. Or they were saved and they fell away. There's some of them that are saved, but not by any means all of them. They are like the great falling away. And so that's why we expect the Lord to come back. That's one of the very last signs. And then, of course, all the wrath that God is sending down on the world here and there. There's floods and tornadoes and tsunamis and all the different diseases, the pestilences that people have now today that there's no cure for. And the people are going crazy. The Bible says that would happen. Even the leaders of nations would be going insane. And they don't want to have anything to do with anybody that has got sense and that follows the word of the Lord. But, you know, the Bible tells us that there was a bunch of people in Israel. God delivered them. They were saved. They came out of Egypt, and they were out on the about 300,000 to 3 million of them. And only two of them made it into the promised land because they started disobeying God. They got bored. They lost patience in following the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, not even Moses got into the promised land. He got to view it from Mount Pisgah. But then all the young people went in with him because they saw their fathers and mothers sinning. But they saw their carcasses fall on the desert. And so they decided to do what the Lord said, the young people that were born in those 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And so they entered in and they conquered. God said, there's no enemy, there's no weapon that's formed against you that can prosper. So they marched on Jericho, and they did exactly what the Lord said, and he smashed them and gave the city to them. They went to Ai, that's another town, the ancient city of Ai in Israel, and that Achan stole that piece of gold because, you know, people, and the Lord said, now all the gold, all the silver, all the brass, and all of the iron has to go into the treasury of the Lord. But he brought it into his tent, and so people started getting killed. And that's why the Lord says, through the Apostle Paul, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them who fell, severity, but toward thee, those of you that keep his commandments, goodness. If you continue in his goodness. Well, a lot of people left the church because they said, if we were really of the Lord, how come the FBI and all that chased us off the property up on the ridge, when I keep preaching that all those that live godly shall suffer persecution, but you have to have patience, because patience is a great virtue. And so the Lord says, if you continue in his goodness, but if you don't, you also shall be killed. Because God,
you know, what I wanted to mention, what makes you rather unique in my eyes is this. When we look at the Vatican, my experience comes from understanding them from a geopolitical point of view. When I worked in Rome for six years, and saw the Vatican Bank scandal, and saw how the even one of my archbishops from Chicago, where I'm from, Father Marcinkus, acting as nothing more than a mafia thug. And so you always get people, and I'm sure you do too, Tony, that come into your ministry, and I get people that listen to my radio show that go, well, how can you be so sure about the Vatican? And I say this, if you look at their political lust for domination, it always assumes both a spiritual and humanitarian pretext. And so what they're doing, basically, by their intense propaganda, they can then preserve and maintain their influx of immense wealth and their immense control. And if you look at the 172 concordats they have with countries all over the world, and how these concordats basically give them special advantages and privileges in governments, you start to understand that this is not a just a religious organization, but needs to be outed in both their religious phoniness as well as their geopolitical power. And so what I say is, Pastor, when people come to your ministry, you can help them to understand how the Bible pinpoints the Vatican as this demon. But then if you go and you look at history, you can also see, and you start looking at hidden history, their involvement just in our country with the assassination of Lincoln, the assassination of Kennedy, and many, many other diabolical things in our country. And then people begin to wake up. And that's where I think you differ. You're not afraid to enter into that geopolitical world and tell people how they are actually acting in our country, bringing it into this one world government, one world order, correct?
Right. Well, first of all, where they get their money from is they run the country, and they also own and run the IRS. All the money, all your tax money goes into them, and for them to create wars and then to go over and rebuild the country after they con the people into becoming democratic. And then they also are unscriptural. The Bible, you know, says, don't call on Mary to pray for you because she's a dead Jewish girl. She can't hear you, and it's there's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that this satanic organization in Rome is the mother of every abomination that's happening on earth. So not only did they kill Lincoln, but they've murdered hundreds and hundreds of millions of people because they wouldn't become Catholic. Well, the Lord says if they, if people don't receive the gospel that you preach to them, then you just to shake the dust of your feet off them and go to another house where maybe they will believe, or to another person. So nowhere in the Bible does it condone Christians to murder people or to have these inquisitions that they have. Like, it's you know, that's so disgusting to have homosexuals judging Christians. That is like, that there is no, they will wish that they have never been born when they go to hell and into the lake of fire, because they're going to be chewing on their tongue for pain, grinding their filthy teeth that they've used for oral sex. That filthy, the Bible calls them filthy and worthy of death. And so we pray, you know, that God will save their souls, because all sin, everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But after they're saved, if they go away from the church, like so many hundreds have from my church, we've got a big following now. We're got into the, you know, I don't even know the numbers all over the world, and in our churches here in the United States. However, because they change, well, every day somebody gets saved and moves in, and sometimes people have to be thrown out of the church if they think that they can bring contraband into the church, like guns, bullets, bombs, anything like that, or if they bring in pornography or any kind of unscriptural books, or if they bring in booze, they have to leave. I just throw them out, because the Bible says for you to do that. And naturally, they get upset with you because they don't want to work. They just want to sit in your church like spots and blemishes within the body of Christ, which all of us are to die out from all that stuff and let Christ live in us. And so, yeah, the Vatican, the Bible plainly states there's no other church on the face of this earth that meets the description of the way that the Lord has told about the Antichrist cult. It's the largest, it's the biggest, they have the most, the biggest temples and the most resounding music, and they have all these colors are scarlet and red. And even in Venice, Italy, when I was there, the whole church was lined with gold on the wall. They're filthy rich, and they don't care anything about the poor people. And the Lord tells us that we are to take care of the poor and the needy. If he said, in so much that you did it to one of the least of the people, my people, we are his creation. And we are really actually dead corpses walking around until we let the Lord in, and then he makes our spirit alive in us by mingling his spirit with ours, and then we become corpses with Christ doing the work in us. Paul says, you know, as I said, that I did more work than all the other apostles, yet not I, but Christ in me did it. I am dead, and all I know is Christ and him crucified, and there I'm crucified with him, and I'm on my way to heaven. He says, I have fought a good fight, I finished the work, and there's a crown laid up for me in heaven, because I know I kept the commandments of the Lord. And there isn't any massive amount of devils from the UN or from any of the Pope or anyone that's going to stop me from spilling the beans on this bunch of weasels. That people need to know. And say, how do you know? Well, why don't they read the Bible so that they can know as well? And why don't they listen to broadcasts that are preaching the truth? There's so few of them. Thank God for, you know, people like us that are telling people the truth. Amen?
Yeah. And go ahead. Go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You were. I interrupted you.
Oh, well, I just... okay, well...
I thought I interrupted you, but I wanted to say something too, and that's the point. I was trying to make this point the other day, that the Vatican will try to, and you're a perfect example. You preach the Word of God. Our U.S. Constitution allows that. It allows you to speak your mind. It allows you to pinpoint enemies of the state, which are maybe cloaked behind the robes of Catholicism, and basically, what they tried to do is to discourage people based on the social decay in our country and making you out to be some kind of fanatic because you read the Bible.
Yeah.
And they do that in order to basically turn off the ears of people that are listening who have just heard this message, and they say, well, he must be one of those fanatical Bible believers. I'm not listening to him. And the Vatican knows that. And that's why they've entered into this propaganda campaign against you for over 30 or 40 years.
Right.
Always trying to keep you at bay, doing things instead of spreading the word of the God. You got to fight 100 different lawsuits, correct?
Correct, yeah. Well, I'd rather be a fanatic for the Lord than a fanatic for the devil like they are. They are fanatics for Satan. And this just proves it, because the Bible says that all these... it tells, you know, and first of all, I'd like to mention this, that the Vatican says to hell with the U.S. Constitution. We don't have a constitution anywhere, because it used to be the American Constitution, but we no longer, the elite, what they call themselves, don't recognize the Constitution anymore, because they say we're a one-world international government. Well, it should have been one nation, only one nation, the United States of America, under God, with liberty and justice for all. But now they're saying, we're not one nation, we're United Nations, and therefore the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply. So to hell with the U.S. Constitution is what these devils are saying, because the U.S. Constitution gives us freedom, a freedom of religion, freedom to speak. And I'm going to, operate. I'm a very patriotic person and 100% for the U.S. Constitution. But these people, these despicable people say that, hell with the U.S. Constitution. The mother of every abomination. So when people say U.S. Constitution is still doing that, those are naive people when they're saying, well, the Constitution says that we're with, that, you're saying the right thing. But to them, I'm against international government. They're saying that I'm wrong, because I'm still standing on the U.S. Constitution. I'm a United States citizen, and these people are devils. And, you know, they want to take us back, and we're almost there completely to the Dark Ages, where they used to persecute people. They'd burn them to death on stakes, millions and millions of people, because they didn't believe the way the devil does.
Yeah, good point, and that's where we're headed if we don't, you know, and you're doing your part in trying to expose them. And one thing I wanted to mention was that if people want to listen to you on radio, just give me a couple stations they can go to.
Okay, can I call my wife? She knows the better. I'm very bad. I can't see that good. I'm legally blind. Read some of them off, Sharon.
Okay, there's WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's true.
There's WITA AM 1490 Knoxville, Tennessee. There's KAAYAM, Little Rock, Arkansas. WVNJAM 1160 in New York. KKGM AM 1630 in Dallas.
What about LA?
KLAA AM 830 in Los Angeles. WAEC AM 860 in Atlanta. As well as WGUN AM 1010 Atlanta. WCFJ AM in Chicago. KOAI, Fort Smith, Arkansas. KOMS FM, Fort Smith, Arkansas. KLAV AM, Las Vegas. CRN Digital Talk Radio, that's on the Pacific Coast. And then the shortwave radio, WWCR, WINB. And we have all the radio stations, Radio West, East, South, and North Africa, Philippines, and Sri Lanka.
And then we're in China. Now, we get a lot of mail and hits on our website from China as well and all these other places.
And if you want to, yeah, Tony, you could stay on now. We only have a couple minutes, but I wanted to mention that if you wanted to get that list, go to alamoministries.com, and you can listen and read some of the articles Tony's written. And one thing, as we leave here, I wanted to ask you, are you still fighting that battle with your ministry in Santa Clarita, California? You were saying the government wanted to take your property.
So far, they haven't said anything more because my attorneys, I sent them over there just to, with proof that I was right and they're wrong. And so they haven't come up with a new game plan since. And so,
all right.
So there's been nothing that I've heard, you know, contrary to or that is contrary to us yet. But, you know, they never sleep. The devil doesn't say, okay, Tony, you won. You know, all right, we're going to lie down. No, they just keep conjuring up new lies. And they keep wrestling with you. And so we're wrestling against not flesh and blood, but the spiritual realm. And that's what we're doing. You know, and it's it never changed. I'm never going to stop, and they're never going to stop.
All right, Pastor Alamo, we're all out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. We'll have you on again.
Thank you.
And thanks again.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.
Okay, that was Pastor Tony Alamo. Go to alamoministries.com if you want to read more. And we're going to take a short minute and a half break, come back, and I've got a number of things I want to do. One is I want to read a letter that Tom Fress wrote to all journalists in America, and he's a Bible believer from Iowa, and it's quite an interesting letter, and I may have some comments on it myself since I was a former journalist. Back in a minute.
Nobody knows where we are now. I long to hear, I need to see, 'cause I've shed tears too many times.